I don't know your stories. This one here is the meanest one I've got or ever hoped to. Less than a year ago, last of November, but hot by God, I saw the Walker gang lugging a little buck, a sandwich size. It would be. That bunch doesn't have the patience. I'd passed up two no smaller, and in the end, the family had no venison that fall. I waved to them from the porch. They just looked up and turned away. I try to keep good terms with everyone, but with a crowd like that, I don't do any more than necessary. It wasn't too much cooler back inside. A note from my wife on the table said the heat had driven her and the kids to the town pond beach to sit. That made some sense. It's the last it will. I peeked out quick through the window as the Walker's truck ripped past and said out loud, "Damn fools." The old man, Sanitary Jim, they call him, at the wheel. The rifles piled between him and step and a half, the crippled son. In back, all smiles and sucking down his beer, Short Jim and the deer. Now Short Jim seems all right. To see his eyes, in fact, you'd call him shy. He doesn't talk quite plain. Each word sounds like a noise you'd hear from under shallow water. I didn't give it too much thought till later, when the wife and kids came home and wanted to know what in Jesus' name that awful smell was over the road. Turns out that Walker crew had left their deer guts cooking in the sun, and wasn't that just like them? Swear to God, to leave that mess beside a neighbor's house for stink and for his dogs to gobble up. And there was one thing more that puzzled me. Why wouldn't they take home that pile of guts to feed their dogs? A worthless bunch, the dogs, I mean, as well as them. You'd think they wouldn't be above it. Every decent dog they ever had was bullshit luck, since every one they run is one they stole and mooched out of the pound. You'll see them all hitched to one lone post, dung to the elbows, and every time they get themselves a new one, you'll have to fight it out until the others either chew him up or give him up. I guessed I'd do this feeding for them, so I raked up all the lights into a bag and after nightfall strewed them in their dooryard with a note. Since I'm not eating any deer meat, I just as quick your guts rot somewhere else as by my house, and signed my actual name. The whole thing's clear as judgment in my mind. The sky was orange, the air so thick it burned a man out of his senses. I'm the one. An evening never seemed to cool me off, though I'm a man whose aim is not to truck in such a thing. I've lost most of my churching, but don't believe in taking up with feuds. I usually let the good Lord have his vengeance. Nothing any good has ever grown out of revenge. So I was told in school when I slapped up Lemmy Watson because he broke the little mill I built down on the brook. And so I learned. I spent the afternoons that week indoors, and I've been different since, till this one day. Then something else took over. The past a week, they stove my mailbox up. At least I don't know who in hell beside them would have done it. I had a spare, the Lord knows why. I cut a post and put it up and could have left the blessed fracas there and would have, as my wife advised me to. And I agreed. I told myself all night, my eyes wide open, lying there and chewing, let it go. And would have, as I claim, but 2 days passed, and they came hunting coons on this side of the ridge. I heard their hounds. God knows what they were running, hedgehogs, skunks, it could have been. Out on the porch, I heard tick, tick, dog paws, and all my dogs began to yap and whine. I made a light. Shaky, thin as Satan, a docktail bitch, a black and tan, almost, was looking in. I made of her. She followed me as if I'd owned her all my life out to the kennel. I stuck her in the empty run that was old Joe's before I had to put him down. I filled a dish with meal. She was a wolf. The first square feed she'd had in quite a time. My wife kept asking what I could be up to. Likes to worry. The next day I drove clear to Axenbury to the county pound. This dog's been hanging around my house all week. Dunno who she belongs to. Lies, of course. I had her collar locked in the Chevy's glove box. Now, I wouldn't harm a dog unless I had to, and figure this one stood a better show to make out at the pound than at the Walker's. But the Walkers didn't know that. Driving home, I flung the collar in their dooryard. After dark, and spitting snow 6 inches by next day, late in December now, toward Christmas time. Things shifted into higher gear, despite me. Or on account of me. Why not be honest? I know that nowadays it's not the fashion to think a person's born what he becomes, but sanitary Jim, his wife and family, I never gave it too much thought, but must have figured right along that they belonged to that great crowd of folks who don't belong. Their children wear their marks right on them. Speech you hardly understand, a rock and sway where a normal boy would take an easy stride, and in and out of jail. If they can't find another bunch to fight with, why, they'll fight with one another. Sleep with one another, too, if talk can be believed. There are two homely sisters in the mix as well. Short Jim beat an uncle or a cousin, I just remember. Beat him right to death. It's not the fashion either nowadays to keep a violent man in jail. A month, no more, goes by, and Short Jim's on the town again. But back to what I just began, the Walkers are as bad as bandy roosters, and I figured they were meant somehow to be. Where most of us are meant to eat one little peck of dirt, they eat a truckload. Is it any wonder, then, I didn't make a special point of mixing with them? No more than I would with any crowd that filthed itself that way. But mixed with them I did. It seemed as if their style of working things reached up and grabbed me. I was in the game so quick it turned my head. The snow came on. The first big storm of winter. That night I pulled the trick with the Docktail's collar. In the morning, barely filled, I saw their tracks around my kennel. But my run's both a solid chain link, and the doors are padlocked shut. They mean a thing or two to me, those dogs. I keep the keys right on me. No one else, no family, no good friend can spring a dog of mine. That way I know they're there or with me. I'm only puzzled that they never growled, they do as a rule. I was surely glad the Walkers hadn't had the sense to bring along some poison. A dog's a dog, which means he's 5/8 stomach. Thinking of this gave me bad ideas, but I'll get to that when time is right. For now, I called myself a lucky fool out loud and bolted both dogs shut inside their houses nights. I judged this thing would soon blow over. I burned a yard light, too, which I'd never done, and that, I guessed, was the last they'd come past dark. You know, the funny part of this whole battle up to now, when you consider who I'd got myself involved with, was that neither side had come right out into the open. The only thing I knew for sure they'd done was leave a mess of guts out on my lawn. The only thing for sure they knew of me, that I returned that mess to its right home. The mailbox and the collar and the tracks, for all we even knew, the boss was making visions in our eyes which, feeling righteous, we took upon ourselves to figure out. And since, between the parties, I guess I had better claim to righteousness than they did, I'm the one who, thinking back, began to read the signs according to my will. How many times have village hoodlums stove a mailbox up? Or just plain village kids? How many times to mention what comes next, as one old drunk shit-kicker or another raised some hell outside Ray Lawson's auction and commission sales on Friday night, and still, I judged it was the Walkers who had slashed all four of my new pickup summer tires. 4 months had passed, but I judged it quick as God. The pickup sprattled like a hog on ice. It cost me $200 just to run it home. Next day, I passed Short Jim as he came out of Brandon's store and sized him up and looked at him, a man who'd killed another man, but shyness in his eyes. He looked away. And if I'd looked away just then? Instead, I saw a basket full of winter apples, bald ones mostly, full of slush and holes. No wonder Brandon had that crop on sale. 4 cents each was asking more than enough for winter apples still unsold in April. If the top one hadn't had a hole as big, almost as half a dollar, by God, where would we be now? But there it was, the hole, and I got notions. Maybe fate is notions that you might have left alone, but took instead. I did. I bought that apple and another, just for show, and a box of pellets, too. More rat pellets than I ever needed. More than I could stuff into that hole and still have stay enough in the rotten skin to hold them in enough to fool a hog that he had an apple. Walker's hog, I mean. They penned her on the far side of the road from where that fire-trap shack of theirs was built. I didn't set right out. That apple sat as much as 7 days up on a post of metal in the shed, where even rats, Lord, let alone my kids, could never reach it. And it sat inside my mind, especially nights. I say it burned the while I cooled myself, or tried to do with every nerve and muscle, in bed, and said the same thing over and over. Nothing good will ever grow from feuds. And just to get the apple out of mind, spoke such damn foolishness you never heard. Old Mother Hubbard, stars and stripes forever. Tried to get the words of one to go, along with the rhymes and rhythms of the other. Then went down that seventh night as if it was another person who was going down inside the shed, because the person I believed I was kept up the sermon. Nothing any good from any feud, and so on. Picked the apple down and put it in my pocket, and the moon was full. Began the uphill climb across the ridge to Walker's. Stopped for breath at height of land, I turned to see the house where everyone was sleeping. Wondered what they dreamed and if their dreams were wild as mine become when moon's like that. They say there's nothing in it, but as God will witness me, a full moon fills my head, asleep or not, with every bad idea. One spring, the moon that big, a skunk came calling in the shed, and my fool tomcat gave a rush. The smell was worse than death. It woke me up. If I was sleeping, I'd been trying to. Until the dawn arrived for hours, I felt the stink was like a judgment. Every sin from when I was a child till then flew back and played itself again before my eyes. High on the ridge, I felt I might reach out and touch that moon. It was so close. I felt that if I reached it, somehow it would burn. It was a copper color, almost orange, like a fire that's just beginning to take hold. Your mind plays tricks. You live a certain while, and all the spooky stories that you read or hear become a part of memory. And you can't help it, grown or not, sometimes the damnedest foolishness can haunt you. Owls, for instance. I know owls. How many nights do they take up outside, and I don't think a thing about it. That night, though, a pair began close by me. I'd have run, the devil take me, if the light had been just one shade brighter. I'd have run right home to get out of the woods, or else to guard the house, the wife, the kids, I don't know which. A rat or a mouse would shuffle in the leaves, and I would circle 20 yards around it. I was close to lost until I found the brook and waded it on down. It was 2:30. The moon kept working higher till I saw the hogshed just across the road from Walker's house. There wasn't that much difference in the two. I'm a man can't stand the mess, but they, the boys in sanitary gym, well, they can stand it. Seems that that's the way that they prefer it. That hovel for the pig was made of cardboard, chimney pipe, and wains. They'd driven I don't know how many sections of ladder side by side into the mud for fencing. And come the thaw each year, the ground will heave that ladder up. Then you'll find a pig in someone's parsnips. Anyway, I looked the matter over, and the worry that I'd felt about the thing that I was doing, well, it went away. I felt as pure as any saint or choir boy hunkered there. I crept up on my knees and clapped the gate, a box spring from a kid's bed, so the pig would have a peek. I don't know why exactly, but I felt like watching as she took the apple from my hand. It wouldn't do to leave it. She just inhaled it, didn't even chew. I backed up to the brook and watched some more, then stepped in quick, because that poison sow began to blow and hoot just like a bear. The job was done. I hadn't left a track. I don't know just what you'll make of this. I fairly marched back up across the ridge as if I made that climb 4 times a day. The air was cold and sweet and clear, the way it is when you can see the moon so plain. I walked on to a beat and sang the hymns. I sang them to myself. I'd got by heart so many years before. Old Rugged Cross and Onward Christian Soldiers and Amazing Grace. And never noticed how the cold had numbed my feet till I was back in bed. No one woke up. I slept 2 righteous hours. You jump into a feud and every trick's like one more piece of kindling on the fire. That's how I think of it, and you'll see why. Come evening of the next day, I was sick. You don't go paddling night times in a brook in April and expect it's just a trick. All night it felt like someone had a flat iron and kept lying it between my shoulder blades. My feet and legs were colored like old ashes. My throat was sore enough I couldn't speak. My wife, who didn't have a small idea of where I'd been beside beneath the quilts, lay it all to how I carried on. You've heard that old expression, sick with worry? That's what you've bought yourself, I think, from scheming on those godforsaken walkers. She was right, but not the way she thought she was. In time, there wasn't any use. I had to go down to the clinic 20 miles away. You know those places. Wait there half a day and then let them pound you, scratch their heads, and scratch some foolishness on a scrap of paper. Wait the other half while the druggist dubs around to find the thing he's after. Come home poor. If it was only poor that I came home. I drove through town at 15 miles an hour. Swear to God I couldn't wheel it faster the way I was. It was a job to push the throttle down, and I could scarcely see, so blinked my eyes a time or two when I reached the flat out by the pond. Above the ridge the sky was copper orange, and thick black smoke was flying up the heavens, straight as string. I thought I felt the heat, but that was fever. By Jesus, that was my house. Chimney fire, I said out loud, or loud as I could talk. My throat ached so. The words were just a whisper, and they sounded wrong the minute they came out. I felt like I would die from all this sickness. They called me walking wounded at the clinic, pneumonia, but just barely in one lung. But now I felt my blood would burst the skin and I'd just up and die inside that truck. I squinched my eyes and lay the throttle on. I meant to do some good before I died. My wife was wrestling with a metal ladder that had sat outside all winter, though I'd meant to get it under cover every day. I used to cleaning chimneys. It was stuck in puddle ice beside the western wall. I jumped out of the truck before it stopped and fell and got back up. Sweet Christ, I tried to run, and every step I took was like a step you take in dreams. The space from road to house seemed 15,000 miles. I stumbled to the shed and grabbed an axe and put it to the ground to free the ladder, but the ground just wouldn't give the damn thing up, and every lick was like I swung the axe from underwater. I had no more force than a kid, a cripple. My kid, meanwhile, cried from behind a big storm window, "Daddy? Daddy?" It sounded like a question. I gave up and tried to call back up to him. I couldn't. My words were nothing more than little squeaks, and when they did come out, they weren't plain. And so my wife began to call the boy, "Throw something through the window and jump out." He threw a model boat, a book, a drumstick. He couldn't make a crack. I flung the axe, it missed by 1/2 mile. I threw again and broke a hole and scared the boy back in. That was the last I saw him. Like a woman sighing, that old house huffed once and fell. Out back beside the kennel, our baby daughter danced and giggled to hear the howling dogs. I went into dead faint, and hell could come for all of me. And that is what has come. 30 years gone by since Lemmy Watson broke my little mill of sticks and weeds down by the brook, and I kicked the tar from him and stayed indoors all week when school let out and Mrs. What's-Her-Name, I just remember, fussing at a desk, would shake her head and ask out loud if one small paddle wheel was worth all this. I had to answer no. I had to write it down. No good can grow from any feud. I wrote it 50 times each afternoon, and then one afternoon the Walker crew laid down a string of guts across the road. The part of life you think you've got done living lies in wait like Satan. For me, it was revenge. And what to do right now? The house is gone, the boy, and I believe I know just how they came to be. But do I? Do I know what led to what, or who's to blame? This time I'll let it go. No man can find revenge for a thing like this. They say revenge is something for the Lord, and let him have it, him such as he is.